Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, nope. Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell you?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah. They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Sunday episode of Spiritual Troopers at Bottle Talk. And if you're here with the ISBHBK, the Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, that brought me on to our class. Unfortunately, Brother Brothers is not unfortunately, Brother Brothers is on his way here. He's in travel right now, so he's not going to be part of this class, but we still have class anyway. As we're just coming out of at the sunset today in Albuquerque, we're ending the Feast of Pentecost. Real quick, give me Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. The Feast of Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Weeks in the Bible. And these are some of the things we're going to touch on in tonight's class, what have you.
16 by 16.
Cool.
We're talking to
you. I can't hear you.
Hello, hello.
I need somebody to call in and see if they can hear. I can't call in. I can't use my phone as a mic and also call in.
Okay.
Let's see if you can hear Zion.
Drum 16 by 16.
Because you got to be clear and slow. So you got to take out speaker.
Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in place which he shall choose in the feast of unleavened bread.
So it's telling us that there's three times in a year that we are required, every male born in Israel is required to present himself to the Most High. All right, we are required by the law, I'm going to say it like that, that we have to come before the Most High. We have to come together before the Most High as Israelites. All men, all males. It says the first one was what? Read it from the top.
Revelation 16, verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in place which he shall choose in the feast of unleavened bread.
In the feast, which is the Passover. We are all males are required to be there for the Feast of Unleavened Bread or the Passover. Go ahead.
And the Feast of Weeks.
The Feast of Weeks is what we call Pentecost. Now, a lot of people are only familiar with the word Pentecost. We're going to get that. We're going to get to that. Referring to the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, and they all began to speak in different tongues. And if you haven't been part of that class, speaking in tongues is not the alhamdulillah, church religious stuff, whatever, but speaking in tongues is speaking in different languages. And we might be able to get into that tonight. So you really get an understanding about why those disciples were even gathered together at that time for the Most High to spread the name to speak in different tongues. But Pentecost actually means 50th day, right? And it's 7 weeks after the Passover. Now, 7 weeks or 7 Sabbaths plus a day after the Passover is the Feast of Pentecost, which also represents the summer harvest. You had the spring harvest that we had to bring an offering to the Most High. You had to bring some of your crops that the Most High blessed you with and as in an offering for he feed you. Just like you know that the same is me and my boys got to eat. Me and my family got to eat. Talk about we got to make this money. We got to come up. We got to make sure we're being taken care of. Well, that goes back to the ideology in the Israelites, that the Most High made sure we were eating. He made sure that we were taken care of. And as a part of that, we had to bring an offering. That for whatever it is, that for the spring harvest, we couldn't touch none of it for ourselves. It was not about being greedy. We had to thank the Most High before we could touch it, before we could partake in it. That's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread was about. Then you have the Feast of Weeks, which was dealing with the summer harvest. You had to now come before the Most High and bring your summer harvest, because you and your family is going to be taken care of. And then we have, go ahead.
And the Feast of Tabernacles.
And the Feast of Tabernacles was the fall or autumn harvest, which is a Feast of Tabernacles, where we're supposed to come together also to remember how when we came out of Egypt together, we were all living in tents. When nobody flossing, when nobody styling for filing, when nobody like, look what I got, nigga, you bummy, because God's not with you, because I'm the whatever. The Most High said, no, all y'all are going to live in tents for a whole week. You'll come together, and that's in the fall time. And okay, we're not going to go over all the holy convocation. I'm not making a class up where we just go into each specific holy convocation, but the physical ceremonies we had to do, for what the spiritually meant. But for the Feast of Tabernacles, again, in the fall harvest, we had to bring something to the Most High also and thank him for how he was taking care of the whole nation, how he was taking care of all of us. It was never about flossing. The Most High was always, whenever you read in the scriptures, the Most High always saved the nation. He never saved an individual, as opposed to what we learned in America. Being in America, we have a very capitalist mindset that it's all about me getting mine, me coming up, and it doesn't matter who I step on, that America is the home of the free, land of the brave. If you want it, go get it by any means necessary. That is not how the Most High wanted the nation of Israel to live their lives at all. That's not even the mentality that he wanted us to have. He really wanted us to be into the mindset of understanding. If you take care of one another, and take care of what I want, I'll take care of all y'all. Now, if I punish one, I'm going to punish all. If I reward one, I'm reward all. It was never this current, very poisonous capitalist mindset that I get mine and you go find a way. That was never how the Most High wanted the nation of Israel to operate, had that mentality. He never wanted that to be he wanted us to be the example to the rest of the world. The rest of the world already has that example of being selfish, being greedy. You only take care of you and what you got going on, your schedule, your goals, your aspirations, your happiness, your joy. You only deal with you. And Most High wanted the nation of Israel to be the example of, no, that is not how you get to the Most High. That is not how a nation is thinking. Remember, just to back that up real quick, give me Deuteronomy chapter 4, start verse 5. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and start verse 5. Why did the Most High create the nation of Israel? What is the Most High's purpose for us as Israelites?
Deuteronomy
chapter 4, verse 5. And did you write it down first? Wait, and brother, since I was here in the classroom, I ask everybody to write the scripture down because that gives everybody a chance to write it down. Not just this thing where, well, this is my phone, so I already got it already. So I don't need to write it down because, you know, it's my phone. Because just like what y'all keep explaining, your Bible's going to sit here all week anyway. To where if we come Sunday, y'all even know what the Bibles are. Maybe even know what your notebooks are. That shows how much study is really being done. But at least if you write the scriptures down, for those that are listening in our class, whether through Zoom or Blog Talks, they have a chance to actually write the scriptures down so they can go back and study and follow. But if you write the scriptures down, then you know if you're reading too fast or going what have you, you know how to pitch yourself a little bit better so that others might be able to get some understanding also as well. So that's what you don't have to. You're going to ask men, but that's why I ask you to write the scriptures down. And I don't like the same man reading twice because now there's no way in hell he's writing all the scriptures down. There's no way in hell he's writing these down so he can go back and study. Right? But again, y'all grown men, y'all going to do it y'all way cool. But the way I like to do it so that everybody might be able to get some understanding, and everybody might get it, that the same man don't just keep reading because now there's no way he's writing the scriptures down to really get what's going on. So that'd be cool.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse 6.
Right.
Keep therefore and do them.
Keep therefore and do what?
And do them.
What's the them? His commandment, his statutes and his commandments. Said, keep therefore and do them. Go ahead.
For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation. The
Most High gave us his laws, special commandments to the nation of Israel, so that the rest of the world can see what real wisdom is. We as Israelites really think it's about we got to learn the world's wisdom and display what they think is wisdom. But the Most High gave us his statutes, his commandments, his way of doing things, so we can be an example to the world about God's wisdom, about the Most High's wisdom. But what we keep falling into, no, we got to do things the way the world does things. God's way don't work. God's way is too slow. God's way is too, whatever things we come up with in our minds, we go complete opposite of why God created us. And now instead of the world looking at us, read the verse again, Sean. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring this point out. Go ahead. Yep.
Keep Heed therefore and do them. For this is the wisdom of your this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation.
In the sight of the nation. The nation's supposed to be looking at us to learn how to get close to God. Not how to be better dancers, not how to be better rappers, not how to be better entertainers, not how to be better athletes, not how to be better thugs, not how to be better gangsters. We're supposed to be, this was looking at us the way they would look at, whenever you see like an Ethiopian dude with that dot in his forehead, you think he's spiritual. Don't let it be an Ethiopian dude with just a sheet wrapped around him like Gandhi, and all of a sudden it's, that's the way of peace, that's the way, that's the way of God. Let it be a South Korean wearing a orange color sheet and got a Mongolian knot type of haircut, he's spiritual. That's the way to God. He walks with one finger in front of him always. That's the way to God. Let it be a Buddhist monk or whoever. All of a sudden, everybody looks at them as that's a spiritual man. And that's how you get closer to God. But the nations are supposed to be looking at us that, no, if you get closer to God, follow that person. We look at East Indian women and the way they dress, and their dresses or what have you, and you'll give her the respect. You look at an African woman and it's dashiki. You'll give her respect. But you look at all women and it's Nicki Minaj, it's Cardi B, it's, for me, with Mary J. Blige, Holly Berry, Missy Elliott. They got to be a whore or a slut or what have you. And if you want to know how to twerk, then follow our women. If you want to know how to suck a golf ball through a hose, follow our women. But if it's about getting close to God, no, you don't look to us as the people that are supposed to be God's representatives. And this is why, one of the reasons why God is very upset with us, the Israelites, because we don't represent him for nothing. We can represent a sports team. We can represent the most dumbest hip-hop look, the latest hip-hop look that comes out, and we'll be all in. But let it be time to represent Israel, or represent the Most High, and it's a timidness. It's a fear. It's a, I don't know if this is really right. It's a, do I have to? I don't feel comfortable. This ain't really me. But this is what God created the Israelites for, to be his representatives on the earth. But we keep trying to represent everybody else. And they get mad. Well, how come God don't accept me this way? He didn't make it that way. But keep reading, Sean. And please tell me where you're at.
Middle of verse 6, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
By us keeping commandments of the Most High, the nations, the world is supposed to look and see, damn, the way they do it, that's the right way of doing it. The way they establish their families, the way they establish business, the way they establish a home, the way they establish everything, that's the way it should be done. That's wisdom. That's wise. Damn, that's how you're supposed to God. But we don't display that. We don't show that. And this is one of the reasons why the Most High stays upset with us as Israelites, that we really are supposed to be the leaders of the world. Not on some Aryan race KKK type of madness. We're supposed to be leading the rest of the world to righteousness. But we don't. We don't think that God's way is right. We really think that the world's way is right. And this is one reason why the Most High stays mad at us. If the saying is, like father, like son, if you look at the stereotypical Israelite, and when I say stereotypical, so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Tamil Indians, Argentinians, Chilean, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, Mexicans, what does the world look to us for? What does the world look at us as? They don't think that they're going to be able to ask you a Bible scripture. They don't think they're going to ask you the way to God. But if it's about being an entertainer, we'll be the first ones looked at. If it's about being an athlete, we're the first ones looked at. If it's about being an idiot, we're the first ones looked at. but to be spiritual, meaning we apply God's law. We apply God's way. We really are about the Most High. You don't look to us for that. You don't look to Israelite, especially young Israelite men. They're not looked at as that. They're looked at as Lil Wayne. They're looked at as again, whatever the hell we had going on. We're not looked at as, if you want to get close to God, follow that man. Get with that sister. Get with that person. They're going to show you how to get close to God. They're going to be able to show you the scriptures about why this is supposed to be done, why it's not supposed to be done, why this is better. This is what God wanted the Israelites to be, his representatives on the planet Earth. But we keep rejecting that. We don't want to do that. Why me? Why us? Why? And again, we get this mental block that's really got us retarded. That's really got us messed up in our heads. But going back now to where you was at, John. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17.
Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Judges, officers.
All right, so that was it. So there's three times a year that we are required as Israelite men to come before the Most High. Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. Those are God's three high holy days, if you will. No different than in America. America's flip side, the 180-degree side to that coin would be Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. That Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving are the three biggest holidays in this American capitalist society, that they shut everything down. Malls, banks, everything shut down Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. Well, Israelites is all supposed to be shut down for Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. That these are very important to God. These are very very near and dear to God. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17. Is that it? Let me make sure.
One second.
Scriptures, salvation. I'm sorry, my book was wrong chapter. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 15. Wait, let's start at 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It's going to be a lot louder than that.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue on the thing which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned it.
All right, so it says, as Israelites, we're supposed to continue the things that we have learned from the book, from God's righteousness, and that we've been assured of, you know, from where it says 1 Thessalonians 5:21, you can just write it down as a side note, where God says prove all things, right? That the God of the Bible is like, if it's right, you should be able to prove in the scriptures. If you can't prove in the scriptures, it's not right. Be quiet. Stop running your mouth. But he says, but continue down the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So a lot of the traditions and customs. That was 1 Thessalonians 5:21. There's a lot of things that we, a lot of customs and traditions that people keep today, and they have no idea why they do it. You know, when you say something, don't want to jinx it, you knock on wood. Where the hell did that start from? Where did that come from? That's the superstition of, if you spill some salt, you got to put some over your shoulder. If you step on a crack, you break your own back. If you break a mirror, it's 7 years bad luck. A black cat is bad luck. Cross or walk under a ladder is bad luck. Where did you learn all this from? These things you keep near and dear, Where did you learn that from? It wasn't the Bible. It wasn't the scriptures. But you hold on to it as if that's that, like as if God, and nowhere do you read about the pearly gates. Let's go ahead and put it out there that, yeah, God is there, Peter's at the pearly gates, is waiting on you, and you got to go talk to Peter first. And then he's like, well done, my son. Where do y'all get that madness from? That's nowhere in the scriptures. Nowhere is that in the scriptures. But you live your life as if that's what you're about to be judged by. And then you live your life, again, not using any scriptures to justify, to reason, to correct yourself, and what's right or wrong. It's just based on discernment. And you have no clue. Hold this. I'm about to jump a little bit. Hold this against St. John chapter 4, verse 22 in the gospel. St. John chapter 4, verse 22.
Verse 22?
Yeah, St. John chapter 4, verse 22. Hold it where we're at. We're going to go right back to it.
St. John 4, verse 22.
Yep.
Ye worship, ye know not what.
And Christ is making it, I mean, I don't know how much more clear this statement can get. You worship and you know not what. You have no idea the origin. As we just had Mother's Day. Where is that in the Bible? Where is that only one day of the year it's supposed to be dedicated to your mom? When the scripture says, honor your father and mother. But now, if you don't see Mother's Day, all of a sudden you got women all across America, man upset, how come you call me Mother's Day? I called you the day before. I called you the day after. But because I didn't call you on Mother's Day, now I'm a bad son. I didn't call you on Mother's Day to check on you. Now all of a sudden there's an issue? Because I didn't send you flowers. Because that's what everybody else does. Where is that in the Bible? Where is that in God's righteousness? Father's Day. Birthdays. Christmas. Easter. Thanksgiving. Where does God celebrate New Year's Day? Where is that? That in the dead of winter is when there's an old man on a cane and then right at 12 midnight on December 31st, a baby appears in this confetti. And where the hell is kissing under the mistletoe? Where does this come from? That now you're obligated to make sure you're having a New Year's Eve party and whatever other celebrations we have. Where do we get this from? But like Christ says, we worship, and you have no idea why you're doing it. You have no idea why you partake in it. Just because everybody else is. If the rabbit's foot wasn't lucky for the rabbit, why is it lucky for you? He still had four of them, right? Is the rabbit still have four feet? If you cut one off and it's supposed to be a lucky rabbit foot, is that rabbit still lucky? You would think if he got four of them, it might be a lucky... So can't be the rabbit's foot. He got four chopped off. Where's the smoking cigar that you obligate on a birth of a baby boy? You gotta give out cigars. Where is it that the man gets down on midget knee to ask a woman for his hand in marriage? Where is that? But if I don't do it this way, I'm doing things wrong. And professing my every dying love. Where do y'all get that from? Valentine's Day.
That's a big one.
Hey, y'all, where'd the heart symbol come from? Have y'all ever researched that? More like vagina. The vagina, let me say, you know, as the world says it. That's where I came from. So you send the heart emoji and all this different type of stuff. Have you ever figured, who started that this was the work of the heart? You don't know. But now if your girl doesn't get the heart and hugs and kisses and all that type of stuff, all of a sudden, on the roses, all of a sudden now, you're not a good boyfriend, husband, man, or what have you. Where is this in the Bible? Where y'all get this madness from? But like Christ said, St. John 4:22, who was reading?
St. John's 4:22. Sorry about that. It's Christ speaking. You worship, you know not what.
But where is it written that a man, a good man's got a good job? Wouldn't that be more of a title for a slave? A good slave has a good job? Why is that standard of you're a man if you got a job only applied to us so-called Israelites? You never apply that to a white man. You never apply that to a Chinese man. You never apply that to an East Indian man. But how come among our people, you're a good man because you got a good job? But why is that only with us? How many white people say, you know, I'm going to take a sabbatical. I'm going to write a book, so I ain't going to work for 2 years. Because and how come white men, if they grow a beard, let a white man grow a beard, scraggle, slap these all outdoors. Have on glasses and smoke a pipe, he's a professor. He's smart.
It's not wrong, like, the kids go take a little round trip.
Yeah. Lady Bum. Why are these all associated with us? And we live our lives by these same standards. But we don't live the same standards what the scripture says. John 4:22.
You worship, you know not what.
You worship, you have no idea what it is you worship. Where did Christmas tree come from? Why is it called a Yule log? Like the mistletoe. You know the mistletoe with the berries that represents the Zeus's nuts. Did it tell you?
Yeah.
Zeus. Yeah. The Greek god Zeus. That if you kiss under that, you're kissing under his genitalia. That's what that whole thing is. But you run around, I hope you catch some things that look like berries on your damn lips. Called herpes, simplex, whatever.
I don't know.
Zeus is a Greek god.
I know, I'm a Greek god. I mean, I don't know where that tradition comes from. The mistletoe?
Eggnog. A birthday cake. Let's go there.
I didn't know the representation of a birthday cake. On your birthday, it's either German or something like that.
Yeah, okay. It's just a basic pastry. Someone started using that pastry for birthday.
It was the worship of the Queen of Heaven. In many different cultures. She had different names from Venus to Isis to Hera, the goddess of love, goddess of love, of fertility. You make cakes to her. That's what that was all about. You blow out the candle, making a wish to her. That was the origin of that. But do we investigate this type? No. If I don't have a cake to blow out and smash in somebody's face or whatever, it just wasn't a good birthday. It just wasn't right. Do you think maybe you, at all, that you're going against God at all? You worship.
No.
You have no idea. You have to take one instant, 1 minute to find out where does this shit come, where are these tradition customs, where do they come from?
Because you said you were in part of the river, I thought I was looking at the tradition of kissing under the mistletoe started in ancient Greece. During a festival of Saturnalia. Yeah.
Y'all want to write that one down. Saturnalia. Saturnalia.
S-A-T-U-R-N-A-L-I-A.
Yeah, A. But I can do that right now. Y'all can look it up later. I'm not going into that all right now. But in the winter, you ever know that like New Year's Eve comes and you have all the bowl games and all the sports events going on?
Yeah.
Guess what that goes back to? Saturnalia. It was about getting drunk, getting blasted, and it has a lot of different athletic events going on at the same time. And you, it's just a great big party, a great big orgy. That's what the whole thing is about. Yeah.
Christmas in the summer.
Yes. New Year's
and Super Bowl like February.
Yes.
And so Valentine's Day is like.
Yes. That's right. But did we go investigate these things? No, we just didn't have a good old American time. I'm sorry, I continue.
Because it runs associated with determining our fertility during the Roman era, and our enemies would reconcile our differences under the mistletoe,
Okay, that's one more, but it goes more into it. I'm not lying to y'all. Y'all gonna find it. But going back to St. John 4:22. I'm not going to seminary right now, y'all. Who was reading? Read.
St. John said before verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Because who is Christ coming to save? The Jews. That's what he's coming to save. So wouldn't it be a good idea to find out how the Jews are supposed to worship? How the Jews are supposed to be doing things? If that's what Christ coming to save? Yeah. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15.
Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scripture.
And what is it from the first time we come into this knowledge? What is it we're supposed to be knowing?
The scriptures,
right? Remember, it says we're supposed to be born again. Y'all remember Christ ever talking about that? So when it says from a child, it ain't talking about from a teacher's age. It ain't talking about from Shamdawar's age. It's talking about from when you first come to this knowledge, what is it you should be learning? What is it you should be getting? The scriptures. One more time, sir.
And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures.
We're supposed to be knowing the Holy Scriptures, right?
Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation.
Because what are the scriptures going? Or what are the scriptures able to do?
Make thee wise unto salvation.
If you really want to be saved, you really want to partake in Christ's salvation, what is it you got to know? You got to know the scriptures. If you know the scriptures, how do you ever plan on being saved by Him? There's good luck. Good luck. We've got to know these scriptures. Finish it.
Through faith, which is in Christ.
Right, from there. Let's get back to, let's go to Luke, chapter 11 and verse 2. And I apologize, y'all. I apologize. What does everybody say right now? What's going on? I know that's a critical call, but where does everybody say that? Are we still on 7 minutes? Do we need to go back and really get into that? For real, we can.
No, I just
How do you spell it?
S-A-T-U-N, Saturn, and then A-L-I.
Yeah, Luke chapter 11, verse 2. As we're getting the scripture ready, can anybody recite to me the Lord's Prayer? English. Yeah, English. English. Just about every sports team says that pretty good. So God's will. So we're saying that God might make sure I get this pigskin football leather 100 yards down the field.
In every sport, there's only one winner. So you got both teams in the same frame.
Right.
Bring the same thing.
at the end of the game, only one of them is going to put that the football touchdown.
Right.
While the other one who just prayed,
loses.
And then, I mean, at that point, you can't let God be like that. And like, no,
That's my question. God made the heavens, the stars, all the constellations, all the different types of plants and animals and even just all the different systems within the human body. But he's going to make sure that your team wins this football game on a Friday night, his holy night. On Saturday, his holy day, God is really sitting up there with the angels watching your football game or your soccer game or your tennis match to make sure you win. Really? That's what God's got nothing better to do. People be tripping. But I wanted to recite that. Our Father, we're about to read the same thing right now. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we really think the angels are up in heaven playing soccer? I mean, really, is that why I'm saying this prayer before the game? Because there's angels on this side in red, and there's angels on this side in blue, and they're about to go at it because it's about doing God's will on earth like it is in heaven. There's one angel that just scored. He's goal! Really? Really? One angel just dragged all the other angels across the goal line. And so I guess he can't point up. He just pointed straight to God. Really? Really? Come on, man. Where we at?
Luke chapter 2, verse 2.
Right. Luke chapter 11, verse 2.
He said to them, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth.
Let God's will be done. Where?
As in heaven.
As God's will, as it is in heaven. Go ahead.
So in earth.
So also on earth. Are the angels up there in heaven trying to get rap careers? Right. That just metaphor right here. I'm going to drop it on you. I'm off the bars. Well, for real. Really? Right. Man, I got to put this on wax, yo. It's hot. Right, exactly. So, something like that. is that? But that's what people really. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. So the things that we pray for, can we really imagine a picture? That's what the angels up there in heaven doing. I don't know if my birthday is a big booty. So that's what the angels up there on their birthday, tossing bottles, making it literally rain, I guess. I mean, like real rain, like real, not dollars, real rain is coming down. And, right. And that's what the angels up there in heaven trying to get done. So I'm praying, God, please give me this big booty hole. So I can have my will, your will done on earth like it does in heaven. God's an angel walking by, he's clapping his ass. Go ahead. Go ahead. God is suffering blessings and G-strings. Really? Because that's living. That's living. God's up there being a grief monkey. He's up there putting, what'd you say I had to do with my car? I had to drop the AC so I could put the supercharger. That's what God and the angels up there really working on, huh? That's what something in their mind. I'm about to get this up to. Right. It's a picture of angels. Feel good. Yeah.
When you guys
talk
for a Wednesday,
you
put a rocket when you kill
him. That's what they're doing? Because everybody says, God, that would be thy will. It would be your will, God. Have you even read to see what God's will is? That God's kingdom is going to be his will on earth the same way things are in heaven. For as many times as we've said that through Little League, middle school, high school, and what have you. Have you never stopped to listen to what you're saying? You're praying for God's will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. There's faggot angels in heaven. There's transgender angels, because, you know, everybody says, you know, that's their thing. And God wanted to be happy, so God made them like that. So why are you getting upset with it? Yeah, Michael Jackson can't fuck with Dan Michelle. Really? Look, God, you don't understand. Will you take the time to listen to me, God? I know you're a creator. I know you made everything, but you just don't understand. I really relate more to, yeah. It's what comes past. If I wish it hard enough, if I think hard enough, it's going to happen. The scripture says, God's word says, Christ said when you pray, your prayer should be God's kingdom come. And God's will be done on earth the same way God's will is done in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be praying for. Doing things in order. Now, I'm going here because we are going to talk about the Sabbath and everything, about God's will and how God wants things done. All right? From there, let's go to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 5.
Revelation 11, God.
Yeah, make sure you read loud.
Revelation chapter 11 and verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man...
I'm sorry, verse 15. Oh, my bad. Verse 15.
Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord.
What's the telling us right here? That eventually, that's what all kings on earth are going to be doing. The Most High's will. It's going to be done the Most High's way. So if we see them trying to do things their way, what's God's plan? That the kingdoms of the earth are going to be doing things his way. Ain't going to be no more eating cat, dog, incest, Buddhist monks, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, all that's gone. The time will come when all kingdoms are going to be doing things God's way, doing things according to God's will like it is in heaven, so it's going to be on earth. Now, well, finish this verse.
And he shall reign forever and ever.
And God's way is going what?
Reign forever and ever.
It's not going to change. Ain't going to be no vote. Ain't going to be no union. But we got together and said, you know what, God, you know, this way, you know, you need to be a little bit more open-minded. You need to be a little bit more understanding.
what you gonna say was this toxic masculinity thing you got going on? Yeah, that's not really working for us. we had a vote. That if you took the time just to listen a little bit more, guys, I think you see we all get along a little bit better. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 16, verse 12. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 12.
60?
Yeah, 60. 60.
Isaiah 60, verse 12. Isaiah 50, verse 12. For the nations and kingdoms that will not serve thee shall perish.
One more time.
For the nations and kingdoms that will not serve thee shall perish.
Is there any misunderstanding by any of these words? If they do decide, no, we ain't doing it that way. What's going to happen to that nation or that kingdom?
He shall perish.
Finish it.
Yea, or ye, those nations shall be utterly wasted.
What does utterly mean? Skirts. Yeah. It's going to be God's way. Give me one second. I'm going to find the scripture. Bring it on, Scott. Bring it on.
Rents family, more rents family, fire or rents
family. Let's see Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. Zechariah chapter 8, and verse 23.
Zechariah 8, verse 23.
Yeah. Zechariah chapter 8. You hear me? Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23.
Zechariah 8, verse 23. Thus saith the Most High, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. Even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that the Most High is with you.
So Most High is going to bring to pass that the nations are going to be doing what? They're going to be following the Israelites. They're going to be following the man that's a Jew that knows the ways of the Most High. That's got the laws and commandments, been rehearsing God's laws and commandments, understand God's will, that they're going to be going to the skirt of him as a Jew so they can get closer to God. Not the way we do things now. It's not going to be the way things are done now. It's going to turn the world totally upside down. And this is what the Most High is trying to prepare us for. This is what the Most High is looking for, a few good men that is ready to lead the world in his righteousness, in his ways, are ready to be his ambassadors on the planet Earth. That now the nations, matter of fact, I guess they do need that one now. Isaiah chapter 2. I got to find the verse in a second. Let's start with 1. Isaiah chapter 2, let's start with 1.
Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house
shall be established in the top of the mountains.
One metaphor that the Most High gives here about mountains is government. Right? You know, I'm going to say king of the hill. Yeah, you was on top of everybody. You was over everybody. Well, this is it's the same type of reference, and this particular verse right here is the same way. That the Most High government, or the Most High way, is going to be exalted above all other governments on the planet. His will, his way, his laws, his statutes, his commandments are going to be above everybody. Go ahead.
And shall be exalted above the hill, and all nations shall flow unto it.
And all nations are going to be what?
Flow unto it.
All nations are going to flow to it. All nations will be doing it the Most High way, or they're going to be destroyed. Go ahead.
And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mount of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways.
And he will do what?
Teach us of his ways.
That the world is, we need to go to Jerusalem to learn the ways of the Most High. Not go to Mecca and learn the ways of Allah. Not go to East India and learn the ways of Gandhi. Not go to whoever and learn the ways of whomever. That all the nations are flowing to learn the ways of the Most High. Go ahead.
And we will walk in his path.
And what's the whole world going to be doing at one time?
Walk in his path.
That time's coming. That time is coming. So as we sit here, keep trying to follow the world, and get into the world, the Most High is going to, the world's going to be doing what?
Going
to be following him anyway. Right?
For out of Zion, walk in his path.
No, let's see what?
For out of Zion shall go forth the law.
Out of Zion shall go forth what?
The law.
The law. God's law is what's going to be going forward. Go ahead.
And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Read.
And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And then he shall beat their sword.
A sword, you know, is a weapon, right? A process is basically a plow. That instead of learning war, they don't know how to take care of their land. And they take care of their land. What sort of laws are going to fall in their land when it comes to take care of their land, John? How long are they going to let the land rest?
3 years. 3 years.
7 years?
So, that's 3 years. So, that 3 years will process
one. And every 7 years, they're going to do what? They're going to let all the fruit on the seventh year fall back to the earth so the earth stays replenished. So there's not no need for miracle growth, pesticides, hybrid seedless fruit. Won't be no more need for that because they're going to learn how the Most High once created the earth after he gets the Most out of the earth. So everything's going to be organic. Everything's going to be natural spring. It's going to be patience, and everything is going to be in the power. So you get the vitality, the life, the strength out of and that the earth has to offer. All the nations are going to be doing this prayer. All the nations are going to be doing it the Most High way in their land. Read.
And the spirit is the pruning hooks.
Right. Yes. You know what a pruning hook is? Those branches on trees, and sometimes the common arteries. When they took trees, they had that long ass pole. And there's a hook on the end with a string and a clip, and it clips the branches. This is what they're going to be having. They're going to be trimming their branches. Go ahead.
Nations shall not lift up sword against nations. Neither shall they learn war anymore.
So once the Most High does put these things back in order, and we get our act together, he comes to save us and puts the earth back in order, what's going to happen to the world? There's not going to be any more war. Wars are going to cease. So while we're sitting here, I know we have foreign hearts out for what's going on in Thailand. We have foreign hearts what's going on over there in Cambodia or what have you. I'm sorry? Well, that's proof that the Jews ain't home yet. Right? Because once the Jews are home, guess what? They ain't going to be no more war. Says that the scriptures. So while we're sitting here bullshitting trying to collect the nations, what are we doing to the earth? While we're sitting here trying to decide, am I really an Israelite? Do I really want to really, this is really, I don't know if this is really the life I'm really trying to. I just don't know. Well, you shouldn't have gone through that. Guess what the world's waiting on?
But keep reading.
O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people.
Let us light walk where?
In the light of the Lord.
In a cartoon, I gotta go there. When somebody comes with an idea, how do you come up with an idea? So that light represents what? An idea of wisdom. All right? So they got an idea. They got some wisdom. That light went off. What's the Most High telling Israel it's time for? Read that verse again.
Verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Let us walk in the light of the Lord or in what? Why would we walk in God's wisdom? When are we as Israelites going to start walking in God's wisdom? Which is what? We read that earlier. What is God's wisdom that he gave us? From Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Thank you. Shall I say it again? His statutes, how God judges things. That's the wisdom or the light we should be walking in. How does God look at things? Not how anybody else or anything else looks at things. How does God judge it? Is where we should be at. So read it once again for me, Roger.
O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Yeah.
Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob.
So why is most of us keep forsaking us? Because we refuse his wisdom. We refuse his judgment, his way of doing things, and it's about, well, it's not fun. It's not fun. I don't want to do this. This don't float my boat. This is why I'm almost like he's rejecting us. Go ahead.
He says, they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines.
Mm.
And they please themselves in the children of strangers.
And we please ourselves where?
In the children of strangers?
That things that customs, habits, thoughts, traditions that are strange to us as Israelites, we find pleasure in that, but not in being the sons of God, the sons of the creator of the universe. We don't find the pleasure in that. From there, let's get Romans 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19.
Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God.
The creature is referring to all creation. What is all creation waiting on?
The Son of God.
The manifestation. Let's look at the word manifest. What's that mean? I know it's on the truck, but let's look at manifestation then. Let's use that whole word, manifestation.
And it's been around a lot of this year, not a bit. Nothing like that, like the pursuits. Manifestation, okay. So event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory, an abstract idea.
Okay, now insert all that into the scripture so it makes more sense.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something of the Son of God.
So creation is waiting for us to manifest or show that we are the sons of God. The world is waiting for us. The world is waiting for us to, so there can be peace, no more war, health, waiting for the sons of God to manifest themselves as the sons of God. Not the sons of Gandhi, not the sons of Denzel, Washington, or whatever, the sons of whatever, rappers or whatever. We're going to manifest ourselves as the sons of the Most High with his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. Yes, sir. Give it to me. Give it to us.
The act of disclosing what a secret is.
Please insert that into the scripture. Yeah.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited, for the act of disclosing what a secret is.
So what's been secret this whole time? Yeah, and from 8:19, what else has been a secret? Who are the sons of God? That's been a secret. So when are we going to manifest that we are the sons of God? Not the sons of LeBron James, the GOAT, or Michael Jordan, the GOAT, or Pele, soccer. I don't know who, or what's his name, Cristiano, whatever. Everyone's trying to mimic and be like them. When are we going to mimic and be like Christ? When are we going to mimic and be like our older brother, Christ? When are we gonna start, when is that going to be the thing to imitate, to manifest, to boast about? When is that going to finally become the standard and not everything else? Because the world is waiting for us to be manifested, to be shown, which has been secret for a long time. We are the Most High, and this is the Most High's wisdom. This is the Most High's knowledge. This is the Most High's understanding. This is the light of the Most High. So the nations, so they can see, man, surely this great people is a wise and understanding people. But wise and understanding what? God's will. How are you closer to God? That's what the world is waiting on. How many drug addicts are out here? Trying to get high, trying to do what? Escape and get what? Close to God. When are we going to manifest that that's not how you're close to God? There's a need to destroy your body with all those drugs, trying to escape your problems, trying to escape whatever it is you're going through. Do it this way, and this is how you get closer to God. When are we going to manifest that as opposed to, hey, you know, I'm with you, you know. Shit, give me a talk. This shit is special. Man, this life sucks. Have you checked out Pornhub? Have you checked out X videos? Well, I got Pornhub, X videos. HD Latinas is that's kind of old. Yeah. Bang Brothers, y'all know? Don't give yourself away. Where are we going to manifest? No doubt. All good. When are we going to manifest the power of the Most High? When are we going to show God's wisdom? You know, pull people out of the shit they're in. As opposed to, you know what, let me join you because, you know, that I don't see no way out of this either. I don't, you're right. You can't beat them, join them. When are we going to decide and make the choice, I want to show people the wisdom of the Most High? Not my own opinion. I want them to be able to learn and get closer to God also. I want them to be able to get closer to the Most High in Christ so they can have peace in their life also. When are we going to manifest that? That's what the world's waiting on. That's what the world's waiting on. From there, let's go to Job chapter 8, verse 20. Let's go to Job chapter 8, verse 20.
Job chapter 8, verse 20.
Job chapter 8, verse 20. Behold, the Most High will not cast away a perfect man.
Who the Most High not cast away?
Perfect man.
And I was going the other day, right? Ain't just Jesus. Who we know from the scriptures was also perfect?
Noah.
Noah was also perfect. David was perfect. There were many men in the Bible that were perfect. But not perfect according to the world standard. They were perfect in God's will. They were perfect in doing things the way God wanted things done. So the Most High, but people use that as an excuse. And anybody's perfect, that's why I have a reason. Excuse, I can go ahead and not be perfect. Good question. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, start verse 1 and 2. Great question. What makes a person perfect? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Most High, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
It says, now, first of all, who is he addressing in this book right here? The brothers. And the brothers are Israelites. All right? So I beseech you, brethren, Israelites, that we do what? Yes, that we present ourselves a what? A living sacrifice. Be that example. Be a living sacrifice. Go ahead.
Acceptable unto the Most High.
And that we be a living sacrifice that's acceptable to the Most High.
Holy. Holy.
From the top. Very top. Very top.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of the Most High, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto the Most High.
How does this make the Holy? Let me actually back this up.
You have a 14 minutes. Cool, well, I'm also going to reconnect.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
To start your show now, press 1.
Since it appears you're cool.
I guess they're really just trying to make you, like, on YouTube, to try to make you get the update for paper service. And I guess Metro PCS is trying to get me to go ahead and get a 5G phone. Where are we at?
We're
holding, keeping the finger there. Now we're going to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8, right? And it said holy. And now we're going to investigate a little bit more of what that means to be holy. Yeah.
And the Most High spoke us or spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou or thy son with thee. And ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation.
Right. So, are we supposed to be getting high and buzz before we come to the work of the Most High? For as much as Jamaicans want to talk about Rastafarians and stuff like that, the holy herb, and you must
smoke the holy herb to get to the right mind state of the Father. You have to build that mind. The Most High was smoking priest. Smoking and killing. Priest, if you came in an altered state, if your mind wasn't pure, so the thought that you could be high, even drunk, even buzzed, and go to the Most High, you're ignorant. You ain't been taught shit. You don't know the Bible. You don't get it. If the priest ever came before the Most High buzzed, high, in an altered state, they died right then and right there. Aaron's two sons tried to bring some it says strange incense. Strange incense had cannabis in it. To be high, because that's what the nations do. The Most High smoked them. They told Aaron, you better not cry. I dare you to cry. The hell they don't bring the wrong incense to me, thinking I was going to be accepted. Because that mad chomper was whatever bullshit you got in it. No! People don't read nothing. So people think, I ain't come to the Most High. This gets me closer to God. No, not the other Bible. That's what, it's going to get you closer to him. Let me be sarcastic as I can. It's going to get you closer to him, and he's about to kill you. Because he's about to take you out. Because that ain't got nothing to do with him. So, read that again. A statue for how long? Forever, the outer generations. Read. Why can't you go between the before the Most High in an altered state? Read that last verse again. So you might know the difference between right and wrong. So you're not influenced one way or another that God, this is God's word, this was right, this was wrong. Not because you're on some emotional high, because you're high. No. You're supposed to be able to put difference between holy and unholy. Read. And between the unclean and the clean. Right? So, and then someone who's close to God is supposed to be able to do what? Be able to teach the children of Israel what? From that, let's go to Abominable. I'm not far from being done. Let's go to Leviticus 11:43. Come on to the chase. Leviticus 18:30.
Leviticus 18:30. Therefore, shall keep my ordinance, and you do not commit about any one of the abominable customs that are committed before you.
Read that one more time.
Therefore, you shall keep my ordinance, and you commit about any one of the abominable customs were committed for you.
Maybe
yourself.
So any of the customs, traditions that the nations that were living in the land before we got there were doing, said don't follow none of the customs, none of the traditions, none of the ways, because that's going to make you defiled. That's going to make you unclean. That's going to make you unholy. Don't do those things. Finish it.
I am most
of your power. Now let's go to Leviticus 20, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 25. You wrote it down?
Leviticus 20:25. You shall therefore
Yeah, I like the same man reading twice. I don't like the same man reading twice.
You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean.
So what is Israel, again, supposed to be doing? Why does it say clean beasts and unclean beasts? Right, the clean beasts are the animals that say we can't eat. The unclean beasts are the ones that say you can't eat. So we, and part of making ourselves holy, there's a diet when it comes to animals of what flesh we can eat and what flesh we can't eat. Read? We'll read again from the top.
Therefore, the difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean.
Right. So there's some birds we can eat, and there's some birds we can't eat. The fowl's a bird, like a duck. We can't eat duck or ostrich or vulture, pelicans, hawks. Oh, there's quail, doves, Cornish hens. Turkey school, yeah. Right. To make it scavengers. If the animal is a scavenger, whether it be land, sea, or air, most of them didn't create that for human consumption. Lobsters, crabs, shrimp, catfish are scavengers of the sea. Eels, sharks, scavenger of the sea. Don't eat it. Octopus, clams, mussels, scavenger of the sea. Don't eat it. Scavenger on land. They're eating dead carcasses and everything. He didn't create that for humans to eat. That's going to affect your health. Same with the birds. Like we see the nations do. Y'all seen videos, I know y'all have, of people frying dogs, cats. And excuse me, the animals will be alive still. They skin them, catfish stuff. I didn't create those animals for human consumption. They're made to clean the earth. Pigs do what? Eat everything. To what? Keep the earth clean. Don't eat them. Reading on them.
You shall not make your soul abominable by
these. What does abominable mean? Let's look it up. Let's look it up. Well, that is kind of a definition. Okay, don't make your soul very hateful in the eyes of God because of what you choose to eat. Don't make yourself hated in God's eyes because of what you choose to eat. Don't make your soul disgusting in God's eyes because of what you choose to eat. Go ahead. Any other definitions? And then we've also read about, okay, unclean. And unclean, when you have sex on the Sabbath, if you have a wet dream, you are now unclean. That don't mean that you're an abomination. That don't mean that it is wrong. You're just unclean. You can't come around. No different than when a woman's on her menstruation. She's unclean. For that week, she's supposed to be separated. She's supposed to have her own apartment where she can go, because whatever she touches, whatever she's around, wherever she touches, becomes unclean also. So, yeah. What do you think? Yes, it does. And the reason it's unclean.
I remember
that
Sabbath.
I know. I'm trying.
I'll try to be fair. No, no doubt. The when I feel myself unclean, when I feel myself defiled, and in doing so, these are some of the customs and some of the ways that the nations did things. These are some of the traditions and the customs they held on to, like sex magic, sex worship, cancer sex, Kama Sutra. All those things were related to the sex cults of other nations. And their whole thing was the thing that they would do with bodily fluids. For them, they called it getting closer to God or getting on a higher elevated level. But the most of it, that is not the way I want y'all to do things, including, as I know about the Sabbath, we're not supposed to be doing these things, especially on the Sabbath, that this is the day we're supposed to be have dedicated and separated to God. Even if, if it's not the Sabbath, you have sex, you're unclean for that evening, go wash yourself. You're supposed to clean up. You're supposed to clean yourself. Don't just stay there and stew in it. And you get up and just go straight to work or go straight to wherever. That's not proper. But we don't get into that. We don't get into that. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1.
12 verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of the Most High.
By the what?
By the mercy of the Most High. That ye present yourself. It says that ye present your body, living sacrifice.
And living sacrifice. So we're finding out that some of the things that we've been doing, the traditions, the customs, the superstitions that we've been accustomed to are against God, that would mean that we would have to do what now? Make those things a sacrifice? We had to not sacrifice doing those things if we want to get closer to God? Reading on.
Acceptable to the Most High.
It's holy and acceptable to the Most High. Go ahead.
Which is your reasonable service?
That if this one takes you close to God, then this sacrifice shouldn't be too much to ask for. If I grow up eating pork, and I'm finding out God said, okay, don't eat pork. Just give me an example. If this is going to get me closer to God, that's not an unreasonable request. If somebody wants to be a rapper, and they got to pay their dues, how much time are they going to put in sacrificing trying to get that Grammy? How many hours in the studio? How many hours of travel? How many hours of clubbing or whatever, trying to get their face out there, trying to get their name out there, trying to get whatever out there? How much time will be dedicated to that service to achieve that goal? So to achieve a goal, people will sacrifice and go through a lot to achieve a goal thereafter. But if we're now finding out it's about getting closer to God, and the things I need to go ahead and sacrifice to get closer to God shouldn't be so dramatic. It shouldn't be so hateful. It shouldn't be so much emotion attached to it, because look at the things that we sacrifice for in our own personal lives anyway. And we understand this is part of the game. We understand this is part of what's done. That if I want to achieve this and get this, I got to put this in my sacrifice in. Well, cool. If you want to get closer to God, now you find out this is how God wants things done, then these sacrifices shouldn't really be that big of a deal if a person really wants to get close to the Most High. Reading on.
Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world.
And if we really want to get closer to God, it says we cannot be conformed to this world. True. We grew up in this world. Now it's time to learn the right way. Read.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
But be what?
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
And in order to become perfect, we have to renew our what? You have to renew your mind. You have to get a different perspective. You have to get God's way of looking at things. Go ahead.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Most High.
That now we might be able to prove what?
That good
and acceptable, go ahead.
And perfect.
Will of the Most High. But if I'm gonna keep my same mindset that I've had in the world, there's no way I'm going to be able to get God's perfect will. There's no way I'm going to be able to come and start doing things perfect according to God's will if I'm not going to change my mindset. And that's done by learning. Am I going to allow myself to learn how God wants things done? By transforming. I've got to transform how I look at things, how I operate. I got to change my morals to match God's morals so I might become perfect in God's eyes, like Noah did, like David did, like... For a while, Solomon did until he stopped following the will of the Most High. From there, let's go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. And then here, in part of the laws of the Most High, what are Israelites commanded to do? To remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We have the definition for holy, right?
Properly, whole, entire, or perfect, pure in heart, holy signifies perfectly pure.
Did we have holy before in one of our classes?
I
never heard of one being separate, set apart. We'll go with the definition for now because it's going to stretch it out too far. Give me holy again before you got. We'll go with that for now.
Properly, whole.
Okay, so it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy or to keep it how?
Properly.
So we got to keep the Sabbath day proper. What else? We had to keep the Sabbath day entire or keep it perfect. Grant?
Pure in heart.
We had to keep the Sabbath day pure in heart. Read on.
I got a temple. And exalted holy.
I like that, exalted. So we had to keep the Sabbath day exalted. I like some of the things you got. Can I say it again? Worthy of complete. We had to keep the Sabbath day worthy of complete. We had to complete the whole Sabbath day. And then it said what else?
Divine.
Yeah, something about perfect.
Divine of the Lord or God of the Lord.
Yeah, something about perfection or perfect.
Devoted entirely to the deity or the work of the holy temple.
Before that? Yeah, somebody said perfect. Was it the second one? Maybe the first one. It was exalted in something else. Divine, go ahead. I thought it said something about perfectness or perfect. Perfect and goodness. So we got to keep this day perfect in goodness and in what? Righteousness. Can everybody vibe and resonate with those definitions so far? Okay. So Exodus 28 tells us what? So the Sabbath day we're supposed to do what? Now, I forgot, were you here when we went over the definition of Saturday and Sunday? Can we get the dictionaries? No. Hmm? Is it? Everybody else look up just Saturday and Sunday. What is Sunday? Sunday is the first day of the week, but what day did God say the Sabbath day is? Did he say Friday? What did he say? What's my big dictionary that I can cover off of? I got, please use this one here. It's an old dictionary I got.
And it's not.
It's it was in that one. Who's reading the scripture? Let's I'll read it again. Read on. The what day is the Sabbath? The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Most High, right?
Thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy messenger, nor thy maidservant, thy camel, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
Yeah.
For in 6 days the Most High be tended the sea, and all that is all that that is, the rest of the seventh day. Whereof the Most High blessed the Sabbath day, hallowed.
So again, so what day is God's Sabbath day? According to the scripture we just read, the seventh day. I said, do you have Sunday or Saturday? Whichever one you got. I believe it's highlighted. I think it's blue. Okay. We don't get both of them, but you can read them first. God's Sabbath is when? So, even by definition, what is the seventh day of the week? Well, we know today is Saturday. But God didn't call it Saturday. The name of the week didn't come until the Greeks came into power. We never, when you read the Bible, it was the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. The simplicity is in Christ. We didn't call our months after, there was no names of the month. It wasn't January, February, March, April, May. It was the first month, second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month. All that came in from Egypt, Greeks, and Romans of naming the months and naming the days of the week. And each one of those days or each one of those names was to a different god or to a different goddess. So what we know today is Saturday. Right, huh? Okay. Yeah, we just said it. Right. If that's the worship of God, Saturday. Because Sunday, being the first day of the week,
represents the sun. No, because the sun wasn't made to the third day. Because there's a light and it's that had nothing to do with the sun. When you look, you see the dusk and the dawn. That had nothing to do with the sun. Now, Esau science will tell you that, but there is a light that was created before there was sun. Because the sun, again, wasn't made until the third day. The moon and stars weren't made until the third day. So there was obviously a light before. There was a greater light to rule the day and a less light to rule the night, being the sun, the moon, and the stars. He had a different type of light for day and night. When the, again, other nations came back and named the first day of the week Sunday, everything, whereas the first day of the week was just the first day. They came back and made the first day of the week Sunday. Then they made the second day of the week Monday. If the sun is the first day, the M-O-N will be going after what? The moon. So you have the sun, Sunday, the moon being representing Monday. Tuesday, since we're here, I wanted to get to this, but since we're here, get your phones. What does the word Tuesday mean? Hold on, that's a switch, man. It's a little bit too far right now. According to the scriptures, Exodus 20, verse 8, what is this? When is God's Sabbath? It's the seventh day. Now, dictionary definitions let us know that the actual seventh day of the week is what? Is what we know today as Saturday, not Sunday. Now, if Saturday is the seventh day of the week, what would that make Monday? If Saturday is the seventh day of the week, the day following it would become Sunday, which would be what day of the week? Can we look at the definition for Sunday? One thing, do y'all know that definition of words change from what they were originally to what they mean now? The meanings have changed. Just like the word we use in slang. What did the word bad mean originally? Something evil or something wrong. But you know, you see a nice car and say, man, that car is bad. What does it mean now? If you say that dude's got a wicked jump shot, is the original meaning for the word wicked the same meaning if you use it in the text of he's got a wicked jump shot? It is?
No.
Oh, no. Okay, cool. So things change. Definitions change. That's why I try to get the oldest dictionaries I can to go with what was actually being said back then. So it keeps saying Christian Sabbath, and once you change it, like as it's now, it changed. From the very beginning, it didn't. This is how God had it going from the very beginning, and Christ never changed it. Religion has, but Christ never changed it. So Sunday, I know Carl read that, but what do you have in that dictionary? What is Sunday? So again, what is Sunday? So if Sunday, by definition, is the first day of the week, how can it be the seventh and the Sabbath? It's not.
It's a
as if Christ changed things, but Christ didn't change things. Okay? So
from the very beginning, and real quick, give me Malachi 3 and 8. Malachi 3 and 16, or 3 and 6, or 3 and 8. It's one of those.
Right. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord. I change not.
Does God change? So if God set the first day of the week and set the seventh day of the week to be the Sabbath, does God change? Did Christ come to change what God laid down? No, he didn't. But religion would have you believe that they changed it from the seventh day being Saturday to Sunday. God never changed. It's the seventh day of the week is always going to be the seventh day of the week, as we know it being what day? Saturday. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it tells us what? So if we're supposed to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, did God leave it really ambiguous for us to just try and figure out what day the Sabbath is, or is he going to tell us what day the Sabbath is? So as we are. So again, God's Sabbath is what day? Today we know the seventh day to be what? The seventh day to be what? Saturday. If Saturday is the seventh day, how can it be? How can Sunday be the Sabbath if Saturday is the Sabbath? It really doesn't. So, why would somebody change or want us to believe that Sunday or the first day of the week is the day we're supposed to worship God? Exactly. Say it again, say it loud so it can be heard. Now I'm going to find the scriptures to back it up. Covenant. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 16. 31 and verse 16. So, what do we make the Sabbath? According to the scripture right here, the Sabbath is a what between Israel and the Most High? Can we look at the word covenant? And so that into the scripture. It's a contract. I'm going to leave it there. It's a contract. Did everybody see that in the definition? Did everybody hear that, that the Sabbath is a contract between the Most High and Israel? Did everybody catch that? Shit. Let's go real quick if I can try and get this real quick. I don't know where everybody's mind is getting tired. Exodus chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 1.
As the Lord says to Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the tent of his land." And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of the Most High Almighty. But by my name Jehovah."
Oh, Yahweh.
Power.
I know it says Jehovah in English, but in Hebrew it's Yahweh. Go ahead.
Power, but I have not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them and give them the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
The land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I also have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment.
All right, now verse 7. We need you to get the build up. Now verse 7 we want. Go ahead.
And I will take you out from, and I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto this land, concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I will give it to you, I will give it you for inheritance. I am the Lord.
The covenant, part of the covenant God made with us is by keeping his Sabbaths. He would be to us a God, and we would be his people. That's what the Sabbath says. He gave the Sabbath to us as a part of the covenant. When we break the Sabbath, we're breaking the contract with God, and our enemies know this. So if we're breaking the contract with God, then God will no longer be our protector. He will no longer be our God, and now our enemies would be able to reign over us because we're defiled. Because we are, because we're not going to God the way God wants us to. So our enemies, let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Daniel 7, 25. Wait, no, even better. Psalms 18, verse 1. The ones that benefit from us not keeping the proper Sabbath day are our enemies, are God's enemies. Because now we're not gathering together on the Sabbath like we're supposed to get God on our side for him to redeem us from our enemies like he did our forefathers. 83 and verse 1.
Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. And be not still, O God. For lo, thy enemies make
atonement is an uprising.
And they that hate thee have lifted up
their. When you go before a king, what are you supposed to do? A royalty, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to bow. But now instead of and the bow is a sign of what? Respect. But God's enemies are no longer bowing their head, then they're lifting up their head. They're willing to fight against God. But he's going to explain how. Go ahead.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
They've taken crafty counsel, meaning this was well thought out. This was very meticulously put together against God's people. Read.
They've consulted against thy kingdom.
Go ahead.
They said, come, let us cut them off from, cut them off from being a nation.
So God's enemies have conspired against God's people to cut them off from being a what?
Nation.
Did it say to cut them off from being a religion?
Being a
nation. Did it say from cut them off from being a cult?
Being a
did it say cut them off from being a music genre?
Religion.
Let us cut them off from being a what?
Religion.
Let us cut them off from being a nation. Go ahead. So God's enemies wanted to make sure that God's people did not know what? That we're the Israelites. They cut us off from being the Israelites. And not being Israelites, not knowing our covenants with God, not knowing our contracts with God, not knowing the laws, the commandments, the rules that we're supposed to do to keep our God on our side so that he will bring our enemies down. So by making sure we did not get God's words, and one of the things that they did specifically was make sure we didn't get the proper Sabbath day. Where did most of our ancestors, where did most of our grandparents learn Sunday worship? Where did they learn that from? Passed down from the tradition, mostly called what? Slavery? From slavery. Not being allowed to learn how to read and write. Whatever plantation owner, or if it was out here, the landowners, if the landowners were Catholic, then subsequently, everybody that was on their land also was forced now to become one. Or Baptist, or Seventh-day Adventist, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or whatever religion that got passed down that tradition. And with that, it was also now Sunday is the day of worship. Sunday is the day that we're going to be allowed not to read the Bible, but go sing songs, catch the Holy Spirit, act a fool, do whatever, that Sunday would be the day that we were given. But in not being allowed to learn how to read and write, we can never actually go and read to see what day God said is his day. It was just passed down at the end of a whip, the end of a receipt where your family members might have been sold, might have had limbs chopped off, might have been beaten, until they accepted Sunday worship, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, a white Jesus, white angels, whatever it is that we have been given to, it was given to us by our enemy. Not because we actually read God's word, not because we actually read the Bible, but just from what they forced upon us. So to come back now and actually read the scriptures, which are able to make us wise to salvation, now we're finding out that part of God's contract or God's covenant with Israel is the Sabbath. And now we're finding out the Sabbath day is actually what day of the week, according to the scripture. It's the seventh day of the week. Are we cool on that so far? Have y'all read Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 10, that God said the seventh day is his Sabbath? Now, what day were we taught? What time were we taught the day begins? What time were slaves and those people conquered taught that the day begins? When does Monday begin? At 12 a.m. midnight? When does Tuesday begin? So have we not been taught through education, what have you, that the day starts when? At midnight, the quote-unquote bewitching hour? Is that when the day starts in the eyes of God? Can we go to Genesis chapter 1 verse 5?
Genesis 1 verse 5.
You saw verse 1. So you quoted earlier. You can just go ahead and read it now. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Most High moved upon the face of the water. And the Most High said, let there be light. And there was light.
Did it say, let there be a sun? Let there be a moon. Let there be the aurora borealis. Just light. Go ahead.
Most I saw the light, and it was good that it was good. And the Most I divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day.
And the what? And the what?
The evening and the morning was the first day.
And the evening and the morning were the first day. When does the evening start? For we know as for when the sun goes down. 9 and 12 midnight. Now when it's dark already. Say it again, Kyle. It matters because right now it's almost 8 o'clock when the sun's going down now. But then at the same time, what have you. But according to God, the new day starts when the sun, when it gets dark, just to make this evening. When the evening comes, that's when the day starts, not 12 midnight. So let's try and see if we can put it together. I know it's a lot right now. So instead of, if the seventh, what day is the seventh day that we know of today? Most people know today. The seventh day is what day of the week right now? We know Sunday is what day? It's the first day of the week, right? But what is the actual the seventh day of the week? What do people... What's the English term for the seventh day of the week now? Saturday. I know it's confusing. It's Saturday. When, according to what we've been taught in this world, Saturday would start at what time? Not from what we just read in the Bible. So Friday midnight at 12:01, according to this world, that would begin what? That would begin Saturday. But if we're going to adjust things to now right by how God does things, when does Saturday actually start? So-called Friday sundown is when what? That's when the seventh day actually started, when the sun set for what we know as Friday evening. When the sun set Friday evening, that's when the Sabbath started. Now, question. What is the biggest party day of the week? Why is Friday night the biggest day? And taking consideration what we just read in Psalms 83, why would Friday night be one of the biggest party nights amongst our people? Why would God's enemies push so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitian Dominicans, make sure Friday night is the party night? Because that is the actual, when the Sabbath actually starts. That's why we get from songs like Thank God It's Friday to what have you, is making sure that you're defiled, making sure that you're unclean in God's eyes on his particular day, because the Sabbath is a contract. It's a covenant between the nation of Israel and the Most High. So for the people who taught us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the people taught us about the Big Bang explosion theory. The people taught us that we evolved from monkeys, apes, and amoebas. The people who taught us so-called science, that taught us about Santa Claus, Easter, Thanksgiving, Tooth Fairies, leprechauns, four-leaf clovers. People who taught us all these things also taught us and to teach us the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, also taught us Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They also taught us, but allowed us, that Friday night is the biggest party night in knowing what actual time of God's Sabbath. That's the actual time that we're supposed to be set apart, exalted. We're supposed to make that day what? Pure and perfect in the eyes of God. But what have we been taught to do on a Friday night? Party. Get drunk. Act a fool. Do what have you. So that we are not in order with, from there, last couple of scriptures for tonight. Let's get Isaiah chapter 56, verse 2 and then 4. I'm calling these two scriptures. Y'all get them. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 2 and 4. Then Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. And then in the Apocryphal Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse. So let me check that one. Let's get the other one. Well, I get this one. Yeah, that's it. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 2. Can we get those? Isaiah chapter 56, verse 2 and then 4. And then Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. And then Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 2.
Isaiah chapter 56, verse 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and there's another man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it.
That does what?
Keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it.
That keeps, the man that's going to be blessed in the eyes of the Father is going to keep the Sabbath and not pollute it. Go ahead.
And keepeth his hand doing any evil.
That's verse 2. Now verse 4.
For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me.
And choose what?
The things that please me.
And choose the things that please the Father. Go ahead.
And take hold of my covenant, contract, agreement.
So the person who's going to hold on to the contract, the agreement with God, according to his way of doing things, is going to be blessed. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure of the holy day, of my holy day, and call the Sabbath in light, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words.
So on the Sabbath, again from the top, there's a lot there. Just read again.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure.
From doing what?
From doing thy pleasure.
Don't do your pleasure on the Sabbath. Go ahead.
And call the Sabbath a delight.
And call God's Sabbath a delight, the contract between you and him. Go ahead.
The holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him. Not doing our own ways.
Not doing what?
Not doing our own ways.
Go ahead.
And shall, nor finding thy own pleasure.
Nor doing what?
Nor finding our own pleasure. Nor speaking my own words.
So, are we supposed to find our pleasure or find pleasure on the Sabbath? What does God consider pleasure for men? Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 2. In your pocket.
And in my mother's womb was fashioned flesh at the time of 10 months, exacted blood of the teeth of Mary, and the pleasure that came was sweet.
And the pleasure that came. So how did Solomon get inside his mother's womb? Sex. Grant?
When I was born, I grew in the air, fell upon the earth.
So, if anybody's going to say sex is not pleasure, I don't know how you say it's not, but sex is pleasure. So when we come back and say not to have sex on the Sabbath, This is why we say in the scriptures not to have sex on the Sabbath, not to pollute the Sabbath. Time to be mad, but Leviticus chapter 15, verse 16 through 18. And then, for real, last one, Acts 17 to 30. Yeah, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 16 through 18, and then Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Yep.
And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgression and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall no man be in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make atonement in the holy place until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself, and for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is the building for him, and shall make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the goat, and the blood of a goat, and put it on the corner.
What is that in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 16?
Leviticus 15, verse 16. And if any man see of compulsion,
copulation,
go out from him, and he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening.
So if you have sex, you're considered unclean for how long? Go wash yourself unclean. All that means is you wouldn't be allowed to come around the sanctuary, give me for an example, because you're unclean. And the thing that makes you unclean is that you're not carrying a disease. It's just that is more in your mind that you just had sex, or the sense of sex is still on you, and you're coming in to handle the work of the Most High or do whatever. No, if you had sex, no problem. Go bathe and just chill to the evening. Chill for the rest of the day. Because that's more in your mind than what the Most High has going on.
And every garment, and every skin, whereon the feet of the cup of the spring,
mm-hmm.
shall be washed in with water, and be unclean until the evening.
So you're supposed to get up and even wash your sheets. Wash yourself, wash the sheets. I ain't going to get explicit, go ahead.
The woman also, with whom men shall lie, with feet of copulation.
Yeah, sex with your woman. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He did say be fruitful and multiply. Y'all went and had sex. Cool, right?
They shall both bathe themselves in water.
And go bathe. Go wash. Go ahead.
And be clean until the evening.
And be
unclean until the evening.
Cool. So y'all, no problem. Y'all have sex. It's cool. But before y'all get involved with anything right now, y'all just chill for the rest of the day. It's all good. Come back tomorrow. Because now that's what's going on in your mind, then what we got going on for the Most High. So you have sex? No problem. Go wash. You're cool. Everything's cool. It's all good. You're not carrying disease. You're not a leper. Just cool. You have sex that's on your mind? Not a problem. So when it comes to the Sabbath, we don't want to pollute ourselves or be unclean on the Sabbath. We don't want to have sex and be considered unclean on the Sabbath. Now, let's say we never knew these things before. We've never taught these things about the Most High. Acts chapter 17, verse 30.
And a time of ignorance.
Okay, you weren't taught. You're uneducated. No one ever showed you. He winked at. All right, cool. You didn't know. Go ahead. Now that you're learning better, do better. Now do right. You didn't know before? You didn't know that was actually taking you away from God. Now as you find out those are the type of things that take you away from God, now start doing things that get you back closer to God. Does that make sense? If I didn't know any pork was wrong, shrimp, crab or lobster was wrong, But I didn't know if there's people that eat vultures, okay? And now I find out that we ain't supposed to eat vultures. Then what should a man do once he finds out? Then just stop eating vultures. I know we didn't go specifically over Pentecost, but Pentecost is a Sabbath. Any of the high holy days, or the holy convocations, are supposed to be treated as Sabbaths. And if y'all, on your own, if y'all want, Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, covers that pretty clear. It goes over 7 of the 9 high holy days that we have. The only 2 it doesn't go over is Purim and Hanukkah. And those in the Apocrypha. Because one thing we had to go into, I just got to make some time for it. We had to go into the Hebrew calendar as opposed to the world calendar. We had to go into the Mosaic way of counting days and times and years as opposed to what the world does. Because the world's calculating of time is deliberately off from the Mosaic way of counting time. Real quick. In Spanish or in Latin, what is a three-sided figure? Just forget the English and Latin. What do you call a three-sided figure? Thank you. A triangle. Okay. What's a four-sided figure? A square or a what? If you had 4 babies at one time, they call them what? Quadruplets, because the quad represents what number? Anybody know what the pentagon is, or pentagram? That's fine. So yeah, try is what? Quad would be penta, or pentagram would be sept, would be oct, would be, and the web would be, or Nov would be, and Jesse would be. Now, if we look at the calendar that we have today, according to what we've been taught, what month is September of the year? But if we look at the name September, Sept would make you actually what number of the year? 7. That's September. Following September, you have what? October. The ox was actually supposed to be what number? 8. But we've been taught is what number of the year? November would be 9, but we're taught is what number of the year? And then December, we're taught is what? Last month being, but by its actual name, it would actually be what number of the year by its actual name? 10. Now let's take a look at this for a second. If we have September, October, November, December, 7, 8, 9, and 10. If December being the 10th month, what would that make January? Mm-hmm. It's the 11th month of the year. Then that will make February what? Then that will make March what? And is not March springtime? When everything's new? When everything is springing forth? The actual beginning of the year? So it's just like God didn't have the dead of night become the beginning of the day. He also had the beginning of the year start at the dead of winter. Then it makes sense that when nature and everything's coming out fresh, new, and a lot, that would be the new year. And that's the actual, in the Hebrew calendar, that's how it is. March or the springtime would actually be the beginning of the year. But again, we've been taught, and that's another one here. Daniel 7:25.
Myself
They felt like this particular kingdom, this fourth kingdom that was going to reign on the earth, was going to speak great words against God, against the Most High. Go ahead. And it was going to be treating the saints of the Most High very treacherous, us, treating us very treacherously. Go ahead. And his kingdom was going to do what? So now, but we are now believing that, or been taught, that Sunday is the Sabbath. Did somebody come and change the Sabbath from the original Saturday to Sunday? There's a kingdom that did that. The Greeks, so-called white people. Was there a kingdom that also came back and changed the months of the year from 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, March being the springtime, beginning of the year, to now the new year begins the dead of winter? Yes, again, that being the Greeks, meaning the Romans, so-called white people, that they've changed times and laws, even daily savings time. They've changed times and laws. And now they made sure they taught us this wrong way of doing things, and we think we're doing things right in the eyes of God, because it's been handed down from tradition, generation, and generation. A lot of our grandparents don't know why they're Catholics, just because that's just what it is. They don't know why we celebrate Christmas. It's just what it is. They don't know why we pork, chorizo, whatever the hell it might be, because that's just the way it is. But where did we learn all these traditions and customs? When the Spanish conquistadors first came and conquered the Americas, they brought these religions. They brought these customs. When they first brought the slaves from the Eastern Hemisphere and brought here to the Western Hemisphere, this is when we were taught a lot of these customs, a lot of these things that was forced upon us, never proven, never shown in the Bible, never shown through Scripture, just you better accept it under extreme duress at the risk of being tortured, sold, or what have you, until it just became a tradition, until it just became a custom, until it just became, that's just the way it is. We were never shown the Bible. We were never given the Bible to see this is actually how God wants things done. But we're at a time now we can actually go and get into the Bible, actually now read the Bible and see what God actually says. Does that sound confusing? We went a little further than I wanted to, and I apologize. And I want to apologize to y'all also, because I did start teaching the class as if y'all already had this. And we haven't really delved into these topics. Not with y'all. So I apologize for that. Y'all have not been taught a lot of these things. Y'all might have heard it, but it's never been proven or proven to actually get it. So I apologize for my impatience. Like I said, I'm thinking, I used to see y'all's faces in classes from y'all was this high. The senior faces now, I'm like, I know I taught this class. I know y'all was in the class, but Well, Wardai was taking y'all over. Yeah, Todd. All to the good. All to the good. I gotta really keep reminding myself. Y'all haven't got the details and the particulars of all this. Y'all grew up around it, but you didn't get the particulars. So I gotta remember that as I teach. That's it for now.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I brought up Saturn, Saturn is basically a connected job I've been going to. Saturn is a voting god, three gods. So I was like, oh, I connected up. That's why it's called Saturn. It should be the Greek god, the Roman god, who was before the Greek god called
Saturn.
What's she wrong?
All right, that was just the backside. When you put the faces toward each other, so the back kind of gets scratched up. Yeah, that's cool. We can still put it up. It's still going to be cool. Still make it look good. It was just heavy as fuck. That little truck, the lift gate said. And that was him using the forklift to try to push it more onto the truck. By hand. That's one. That's one. They're showing, yeah. One, he's 24. He's doing construction. His grandfather's in construction. His father's in construction. He's in construction. His cousins. Simeon, Dominican. Kai. Them cats, they work. They work. Them cats broke down them walls. One damn near broke them all down by himself. Them cats hustle. Yeah, there's a lot of pride there. I'm going to give him a call and see.
Drive somewhere.
Drive longer from the
Coward. Has he downloaded or erased a lot of the pictures? If we're taking 10 pictures per prototype, how many prototypes have been done? So have you erased that cache? That's a lot of memory. Because that's his second, that's his new phone. That's not his old phone. And if it won't update, that's kind of, he ain't used that much memory unless he got just music.
Well, the whole thing is that I'm actually, if you have to support them with that way, no matter what, if you win, that won't have that advantage, because you should already have that possible, but it would be easier if I was to, like, watch it with somebody, like, I don't know.
I didn't send the Zoom out today.
I think it has sort of a concern with the house.